I'd like to start off with a quote from Mr. Aaron Dean that in a sermon he gave in 2000. He said, "I don't feel comfortable because I'm with United Church of God any more than I would with Global Church of God or Church of God International or Worldwide Church of God or the Baptist or anybody. I feel comfortable only because I know what this book says," evidently pointing at the Bible. "I've proved it for myself. And I know that I have to do what it says. And if there are other people who want to, I thank God for them. If there are not, I'll do it alone. It doesn't mean that I can't talk to others. We have never been isolationists. As much as people like to say we've never helped anybody else, that's not true. We've helped a lot of people in the past who were not members of the church. Everybody who Christ helped wasn't a member of the church. You know why? Because there was no church whenever he was walking the earth as a physical human being." And, you know, what he meant by that, and he didn't mean that the church is insignificant. He didn't mean that the organization was insignificant. What he was saying was that the only way to salvation is through knowing the Father. And I emphasize the Father. I looked around and I remembered I gave a sermon, I think, many, many years ago about the center. Who's the center of the gospel? It's the Father. Jesus Christ came, what? To preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. The Father, you see. And I preached that, and I haven't given one for many, many years. And I started looking around, and I thought, there's something missing here lately. And in my looking around, I tried to find music in the church or in the world that emphasized the Father. Couldn't find any. I looked for sermons that people had given on the internet in different places, sermons I had heard from other individuals. I only found one. You see, our relationship basically is a one-on-one relationship with the Father, but secondarily with an organization and with a man. In 2 John chapter 9, if you'll go there please, 2 John chapter 9, the epistle of John, the second epistle of John, verse 9. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrines of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrines of Christ has both the Father and the Son." And that's the relationship that we had and we have with God Almighty. Because we must concentrate on the fact that we are the family of God. And a family, and it's interesting, you know, we heard about unity of the Spirit. Years ago, many people thought that the Church of God was an organization and not a Spirit-led group of people that had the Spirit of God, the body of Christ. And when we look at that, we, you know, how many of you have a full load of the Spirit of God? Or half, just a tiny bit? How much of God's Spirit do you have? You know, one day my wife mentioned to me, you know, that it's too bad we don't have one of these things like a turkey has, you know, that pops out whenever you have, you know, it gives you an indication of how much Spirit you have. But you see, as the body of Christ, we are God's people trying to do it right. And when we do it, we have to do it God's way. That's the only right way. And it's not just knowing doctrine. It's not just knowing doctrine. Because I know a lot of people that know doctrine. But it's living the truth and the doctrines of God. In Titus 1 and verse 15. And I want to show you a point, but it starts off in verse 15 in Titus 1. Of something, if we could all just understand this. Titus 1 and verse 15. It says, "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure." So if you have a pure mind, you look at what everybody else does as pure until they prove otherwise. Then it goes on to say, "But even their minds," and he's talking about the people that are causing problem, "and consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable disobedient and disqualified for every good work. So it's not what we say, it's what we do that counts. Which is better? A little old lady sitting up in Minnesota with 6 or 8 feet of snow, and thankfully she's there and we're not, that knows one doctrine and lives it? Or someone who goes to Ambassador College, grew up in the church, and knows thousands and thousands of doctrines and only keeps one? Who's better off? You see, it's what we know and then what we do with what we know. We have to know the Father. And Jesus' death gave us access to the Father. His life is in us by His Spirit. And the office that He now holds as high priest, it aids us in maintaining that relationship. You see, He's there in the heavens, as it says in 1 John 2 and verse 1. 1 John 2 and verse 1. He's there as our lawyer, our high priest. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things wrong. And when we do, Satan is there to say, watch what Ron Lachlan did. Of course, he's probably there a lot of times saying, look what Ron Lachlan did, you know, because we sin. We all sin. But notice what it says here in 1 John 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when we make a mistake and we go to God, you know, remember, what we're told when we pray is we say, our Father. We don't say, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's nothing wrong with praying to Jesus Christ occasionally, but our prayers are usually to the Father. And that's very, very important that we understand that. And we have an advocate. He's our defense attorney in heaven. He's there to help us and to show God the Father, you know, that we did make a mistake. And He's our only access to the Father, and that's by coming under the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and approaching the Father in His name or His authority. Yet, you know, we also do need ministers to feed us. That's very important. The ministry, though, should aid us in maintaining that relationship with the Father. And I've been thinking, and one of the things that became very clear in my mind after we've seen all the things that have happened over the years, a minister can either lead us to the Father by imitating Jesus Christ or draw us away from the Father by pointing to self. Because remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1? Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And man is the weak link in the chain in this end time. The Bible warns us, you know, don't be careful. Hang on that no one steal your crown. You know, the crown has been stolen from many, many people. An organization is made up of men, but an organization is to feed us spiritually to strengthen our relationship with the Father. Worldly organizations take their members away from the Father. The organization that we were all probably once in, where is it today? It's taking everybody away from the Father. And it's done the exact thing that we see in the churches of this world. The world teaches a false Jesus. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. They teach a false Jesus. The gospel they preach is a gospel about Jesus Christ Himself, not the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, which is something hopefully that we can do more of, if you know, in the association and working together and letting people know that Jesus Christ is coming. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So when they see Jesus Christ, they should be able to see the Father. Because God Almighty is composed of Father and Son. And sometimes this world just sees up to one area and no further. The Father is basically ignored. They just don't look at the Father because they see no higher God. If you listen to the music today, if you listen to the Dove Awards and so forth, if you look at the music, most of it is talking about Jesus Christ. Or the Spirit. You see, Satan has deceived this world by substituting himself as the Christ of Christianity, of the Jesus of Christianity. We were watching, I think it was Discovery Channel or the History Channel the other day, And they were talking about these statues that they had discovered, and they were in these museums, and I believe it was in a museum someplace. And they said, and they showed this one of Zeus. And the commentator said that many people believe this face of Zeus was the model for what we see of the pictures of Jesus Christ today. And my wife says, no wonder he looks Italian. Because they have taken something and put it into the religion of this world, and they can't see anything past that. It's a false Christ. Then the next thing that they did is he marginalized the Father and his role in mankind's spiritual calling. Mainstream religion has gotten to the point where they can't see the Father. It's not there. Everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with Jesus. I hope everybody understands that, okay? What I'm saying is the emphasis, we have to be a balanced group of people. Jesus Christ and God the Father are the most balanced people in the world. And you know, that's the way the Church of God has to be, balanced. Churchianity de-emphasizes the true Father. I'd like to read something to you. This says, the Father of God and the brotherhood of man is how the 19th century liberal Protestant theology, Adolf Harnack, once summarized the Christian faith. This is how, and this is a belief of many of the Christian faiths. Nowadays, Harnack would find his brand of reductionist religion dismissed as hopelessly sexist and exclusive by many female theologians. The brotherhood of man, he says, might be reworked into the family of humanity, or its equivalent. But what would they do about the fatherhood of God? Well, can we replace the alleged sexist language of the divine fatherhood with so-called gender-inclusive or gender-neutral terms such as father, mother, or heavenly parent without further ado? Many people, including some Catholics, say yes. We not only can, they contend it, we must. God is, after all, beyond gender. Calling God Father without adding that God is also Mother unfairly exalts one image of God above all others and ignores the culturally conditioned values of our image of God. While most mainline Protestant churches are acquiescent, evangelicals and Orthodox churches, they say, no, we have to maintain strict language. You know, what do you do with this sample prayer, Our Father? You see, they look at it from an entirely different perspective than what the Bible is talking about, because the Bible is about the family of God. When they talk about the Father, it's not talking about gender, it's not talking about sexual orientation, it's talking about a family relationship. It's God the Father, it's God the Son, and it's the family of God. And it was mentioned in Ephesians 5, if you'll go there, please, Ephesians 5. An interesting thing in Ephesians 5 when it's talking about all of the things about the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, it talks about then the marriage relationship. And it ends up saying one thing, and this is something the world does not understand. The analogy of a family relationship in Ephesians 5 and verse 32. This is a great mystery. The world does not understand it. It's talking about the family of God. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel about the coming family of God. The world looks at the gospel as about the life of Christ. You know, you look right at your Bibles, and it tells you in most of your Bibles, I'm sure, the gospel according to Matthew. It's talking about Jesus Christ. This is all Jesus Christ. Then when it gets into the Paul's writings, it doesn't say anything about the gospel. It's like that's something entirely different. It's an analogy of the family made up of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and us, the family. Now, we have a direct relationship with the Father, but we also have a relationship to God through the church, because that's what you read in Ephesians 4 through that area. But we also have a relationship with the Father through the family, because it says God, the head of Christ is God the Father. Then Jesus, who is the head of the man, the woman, and so forth. I know that that's not very popular today in our society, but that's the relationship that we have with God Almighty. And so if we have the right relationships in all of those areas, we're doing it the right way. We're following God's way because we need to have that relationship with the Father. So what I'd like to do today is remind us that we do have a direct relationship with the Father. If we obey what He commands, then we'll be happier, we'll become spirit beings, and we'll succeed in our calling. Why were you called? Why are you here today? You know, I often ask that question. I look at my brother. My brother was a successful lawyer. He was vice president of Lucent Technology. I mean, he's smooth. He's very personable. He has all kinds of talents and abilities. But yet God called me. And when He called me, He found a barrel. And He moved the barrel aside. And then He dug down in the muck and the mud. And then He found me there. And the reason that He did that is because He knew that if He called my brother, if my brother made it into the kingdom, everybody who knew him would say, you know, he made it on his own. But everybody that will look at me and knows me, they'll say, you know, there must be a God. That's the only way Ron Lochner could have made it. Because that's the way we are. All of sin. So what we do here and what we see here, Satan tries to make us think that the Father is insignificant in our religious life. They substitute a false Jesus, and that's a deception of Satan. Conceals the Father. Our relationship is with, and it has to be with both. It has to be with the Father and the Son through the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. And we must, as the organized body of Christ, turn people to the Father and to God. If we preach the gospel, what should we preach? We have to preach the gospel. And I know that there's many groups that are trying to preach the gospel. But are they preaching the gospel to warn the world, let them know what's happening out there? Are they preaching the gospel so that we can get people? You know, what's the purpose of preaching the gospel? The purpose of preaching the gospel is to tell the world, look at what's coming. Why do we want to maintain a close connection with the Father? Because Father knows best. Father knows what's best for us. In Hebrews 12 and verse 9, Hebrews 12 and verse 9, my dad was a wonderful man. He did what he did to the best of his ability under the conditions of the world that he lived in. Worked in a steel mill, temperatures 140 degrees during the summer, 130 during the winter. He worked. He tried to supply us with everything that we needed. We had some things. We didn't have other things. But, you know, he did the best he could. But notice what it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? He is the Father of spirits. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for them, and I remember those days. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. If we just do it God's way and we stay close to the Father and we stay close to Jesus Christ, then you know what's going to happen? We will be a partaker of His holiness. That's what it's all about. That's where we're going. That's what we're here to do. The real Jesus teaches the Father's doctrines. John 14. John 14 and verse 10. Jesus Christ, when He came, did not talk about Himself. He didn't talk about, look at me, look how great I am, this is what I have to say. But you know, that's what the concept of the world is. That Jesus came to say, look at me, I'm the gospel, everything about the gospel is about me. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus Christ is part of the gospel. You know, doing the work is part of the gospel. The Jesus Christ is the Son of God is part of the gospel. The church is part of the gospel. But there's a big overriding thing, the kingdom of God. And that's what we're looking forward to. That's where we're going. John 14 and verse 10. Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. You know, we talk about Jesus Christ dwelling in us, but you know the Father dwells in you also through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the way of God, what a true minister of God, what a true organization does, what we all do for each other is encourage everybody to think about the Father. You know, when you look at me and I look at you, and just, you know, if you're talking to someone in the congregation, how can you get mad at somebody and holler and scream at them if they have the Father in them? Can you imagine what God the Father is thinking? Can you imagine what Jesus Christ is thinking? You see, we all, members of the body of Christ, is a part of the work of God, of preaching the gospel. That's why we're here. That's what I want to do. That's part of what I want to do. Two things that we were required to do that were the main thrust of the work: preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God and prepare God's people. We prepare God's people by keeping them moving towards Jesus Christ and towards the Father. And we preach the gospel to the world to show them that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. True happiness only comes by following the way of God as revealed by his spokesman, Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy 10, what does God require of us? You know, I know that all of you have heard this many, many times over the years. Looks like some of you may have been baptized when Noah was alive. But, you know, it's always nice to go back and refresh these things. I'm very sorely disappointed in a lot of the things that I see. I know that I'm not doing what is right in every case. But I see so many who have just turned their back to people that we have served. You know, we knew one individual that was very close to us. And then all of a sudden, completely off the wall. Completely off the wall with new doctrines and new beliefs. Well, I can't say new doctrines. My wife tells me there is no such thing as new doctrines. It's just wrong doctrines or right doctrines, you know. And people, it's just disappointing. And I know that I fall short, so I can't judge anybody else. I know that I fall short just like everybody else, because none of us know everything the way we should know. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Eternal, your God, inquire of you or require of you? But to fear the Eternal, your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve him. And I think that's one of the things I see today. There's not a lot of people who want to serve God anymore. It seems like it's, you know, and it goes back all the way into worldwide. 10% maybe of the people would do all the service and the other 90% would take. And maybe that should have told us something. But, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to serve, whether it's putting chairs up. And, you know, I hope you understand, I don't know who serves here, who doesn't serve. Sometimes you can't serve. Sometimes, you've other people are already doing it. You're just waiting for your turn. You're anxious to serve. But just putting up chairs or helping out, you know, that's the type of thing that we should always want to serve God. We may not everybody in the church, not 100% of the church can serve every time and every Sabbath. But you can serve, you know, and you want to do the best you can. But service to God is very important. Serve the Eternal, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul. In other words, doing it for the right reason. To keep the commandments of the Eternal and his statutes, which I command you today, there's a purpose behind that. It's for your good. God wants us to have good things. He wants to bless us. He wants to make us happy. Following Christ, who is the image of God, produces true happiness. And we're told in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. This applies to God's ministers also. You know, we have to be faithful to the word of God. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. See, God's ministers should teach both the Father and the Son. John 17, we go through the Passover service and read some portions of John chapter 13 through chapter 17. It's the time that Jesus Christ was talking to his apostles. And it's kind of like the last words you want to give to somebody when you're going to leave. You know, you have a kid going off to college, and you try, that last day, you try to tell them everything they need to know for the rest of their lives. Have you experienced that? They're going to leave the home. They're going to leave the nest. And you want to, well, don't do this. And make sure this, on and on and on and on. Well, that's the way this is in these chapters here. And I never really delve into the depth of it and what it really looks like. Study this. Everything's about the Father. It's all about the Father. John 17 and verse 3. This is eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's not just some doctrines. It's not just minor doctrines, which a lot of people seem to be making quite a deal of today. But it's every doctrine that God has given us put in the proper balance, which produces one doctrine, love. Matthew 4 and verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's just not what you know, it's what you live. It's not knowing which doctrines, it's knowing the way to live. It's emphasizing the way of God. Sadly today, politics, lust for money and power, which is in this world today, in many cases has entered the church. And God's way is not about who has the power. It's not about who's in charge. Because we know who's in charge. He's here right now. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about God the Father. It's about the Father. It's about the Son. They're in charge. And sadly, these political things have come into this world. I stopped watching the news. The news for such a period of time there was so filled with hate and trying to destroy other people. I said, I can't take this anymore. It's so bad. The hatred that we see, it's just mind-blowing. I just can't handle it. I just can't handle it. I don't like to see hatred. I like to see, being able to live with someone in balance and love and enjoying. And that's one of the reasons I really enjoy coming down here. Our last trip down here was really a joy. And to come and see you all again, it's really, really makes me feel very, very comfortable. Makes me feel good. And I appreciate you all. There is a lost doctrine that God says will be missing at the end time. And anybody can look around and see it in the church. What does it say in Matthew 24 and verse 11? False prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, it will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And I've seen people over the years that, were very friendly and very happy, won't even talk to me today. Because they're in a different organization. They're in a different group. And maybe that you've experienced that also. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But it seems to be, where's the love? Where's the love of God? Love is just more than a doctrine. It's an essence of the Father. It's who He is. It's the way He lives, and it's supposed to be our way of life. God epitomizes love. One of the things that we, and this is one of the things with Mr. Armstrong, I read this in The Missing Dimension in Sex, that said there that really opened my mind. It says, love is not an emotion. Love is not an emotion. It is keeping God's law, although it does have an emotional content. See, in this world, love is an emotion. But God's way, love is logic. And one of the things that God wants us to do as ministers is to show love. Because God is love. That's what it says in 1 John 4, verses 12 and in 16. God is love. Now, how can God be a doctrine? Do you ever think about that? What does it mean that God is love? That means that everything He does is the way of love. Because if He didn't, the first mistake I ever made after being baptized, guess what would happen to me? None of us would be here. How many of us deserve what we have today? We don't. We don't deserve anything that we have. A minister has to live love and has to show love. And I'm not talking about this emotional love. I'm talking about the love that has an emotional content, but is mainly a logical understanding and doing the way of God. Our society today, We listen to what people say rather than what they do. We listen to what people say. So someone will get up there and they'll say something and someone will say, oh, that is really, really wonderful. Over the years, I would watch these movies, and then they have these shows now where they give you the biography of someone's life, and you have them as a hero. We were watching one. I wanted to see this one the other day. And so I watched that. And, you know, the image that you have of these people, and then you find out the way they actually lived in their lives, you think, it's awful. Because what a person says, the way they act, the way they do things, doesn't necessarily mean that's the way they are. That's, you know, that's something that's very, very important. You see, no one can steal your crown, not only by a false teaching, but there's another way. They can hurt you to the point of developing a hatred for that person, that you hate them so much. You know, the Star Wars series, I don't know how many of you have seen that. In the Star Wars series, it was all about developing anger and hatred so that young Luke Skywalker would kill people. If you could just get him mad enough, Anakin Skywalker and Luke Skywalker, right, in the whole series. And, you know, just get so mad and you say, I feel the dark, I feel the power, the Emperor would say. Because that's one of the things, when love waxes cold and you hurt somebody else or someone hurts you, the whole idea behind that is to get you so offended and so upset and so filled with hatred that you turn to the dark side of the Force. And, you know, that movie had something, that all those movies had something to say about life. It had a biblical background, a basis to it. Hatred can turn you to the dark side of the Force. That's why we have to force ourselves to love one another. We have to force ourselves not to be offended by anybody. Because love is not an emotion. You see, hatred is an emotion. Hatred is an emotion. Anger is an emotion. But God says you have to love no matter what. That's the way we live. The church is just more than doctrines about who's right, which doctrines are right. It's about developing the godlike character of the Father. In Matthew 23, and verse 24, you know, people say, well, you know, I do this, this is my doctrine, this is what I believe, and I know I'm right because that's my doctrine, that's my belief. And because you don't believe that doctrine, I'm going to get you. I'm going to show you how bad you are because I'm right and you're wrong. And I look at them and I say, take that doctrine, keep it. That's not what life is all about. That's not what the church is all about. The church is about loving one another. Matthew 23 and verse 23, I believe it is. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. If you took a look at a scribe and a Pharisee, compare them to what we do today, probably physically they look a lot more righteous than us, but they weren't. Because it goes on to say, for you pay tithe of men, which you should do, and anise and cumin. But you know what? You've neglected the weightier matters of the law. The law, justice, is a weightier matter. Mercy is a matter of the law. Faith, these you ought to have done, and without leaving the others undone. It's all about living together in a family that is tied together by the Spirit of God, loving one another. That's what it is. That's what we should do. Reinhold Niebuhr said, family life is too intimate to be preserved by the spirit of justice. It can be sustained by a spirit of love which goes beyond justice. Love goes beyond anything else. You got a doctrine? That's great. You like that doctrine? That's great. But you know what? Love me, even though I may not agree with that doctrine. And if I have a doctrine, you know, love me. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's what ministers of Jesus Christ do. But someone gets out here in a corner someplace, back in 3 Zedekiah, chapter 67 and verse 42, it says something, and you form your whole doctrine on that. and it throws everything else out the window, and you're going to go around with a machete cutting people's head off because they don't believe what you've already taught them because you know so much. That's not love. That's not love. You know, we've never forced the doctrines on anybody. Someone would call when we're worldwide, they want to visit, we go out there, and we try to answer their questions. But if they were argumentative or wanted to fight, we wouldn't do it. I remember one time I got a phone call from somebody who the church referred to, sent me the information. I called him, set up an appointment, go there. Myself and my associate, we walk up to the door, and there's a car parked there also. And I said, something's not right here. So we go in there, and he introduces us to two guys with suits on. And I said, okay, I know what's going on here now. Shake hands, hello. We sit down on one couch. They sit down on the other couch. And he's sitting in a chair in the center. He says, okay, I'd like you to prove them right or wrong and them to prove you right or wrong. And I said, okay, have a nice day. Got up and walked out. He says, where are you going? I says, I'm not here to do that. That's not my job to try and prove. You know, if they don't have the Spirit of God, you can sit there and talk all day. It's not going to make any difference. All it's going to do is make them mad. My associate, who was relatively new, said, why didn't we stay there and talk to them and tell them and everything? I said, it's useless. It's a waste of time. Why argue and fight with someone that can't hear you? You know, it's useless. All you're going to do is not show love. To me, showing love at that point was getting out of there because I'm not going to argue and fight over something like that. And the people were dumbfounded. The two ministers, and I assume they were ministers, were just, you know, because they were accustomed to being able to argue and fight their doctrines. It's not that way. The love of God encompasses all of the doctrines with emphasis on the balance of what is most important to the Father. What is most important to the Father? You know, that's something we all have to determine for ourselves. It's all covered in one chapter in the Bible. It reveals the Father's most important doctrine because it describes the Father. It shows the balance of all of God's doctrines. It explains the way of God. It's the spiritual application of the law. It tells us what is the most spiritual principle that we should consider first of all in dealing with others. It's the overriding principle of our relationship with the Father, the Son, and with our fellow man. And you probably know which chapter I'm talking about, don't you? 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 13. The problem, when you bring it up like this in a sermon, is that you can't really fill it out completely. You go through and you explain some things and you say, well, it's this and it's that. Love is this and love is not that. This is something when you get home to sit down and just really study. Because if you're studying this, you're describing the Father. And when I look into it, I really get mad because I see a lot of myself in here that I should be doing when I shouldn't and shouldn't be doing when I should, you see. Because I was going through this again. I says, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. I should be. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, you know, and you have this thing that's going around, the Sacred Name Society. But if you don't have love, you know, what do you have? Love in a social and a moral sense. I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, there are people that know the exact events of the end time. They know the date of the time of Christ's return. But you know what? If you don't listen to them, they get very, very upset with you because they can show you from the Bible by tying 72 unrelated scriptures together and tell you Jesus Christ is coming at 7:30 in the morning, Central Standard Time, on Pentecost in 2000 whatever. And they get really upset if you don't believe them. You know, I had one individual during the feast stand up and just challenge me during the feast because he had doctrines that he believed. And he wanted to make sure that everybody knew them. You know, to embarrass yourself and to hurt other people and disturb services like that, that's not really love. If you understand all mysteries, you can see more in the Bible than is in it. You can read between the lines and tie scriptures together that have absolutely nothing to do with life. You know, I can give a sermon. You know, you give me a subject. and I can give you a sermon, and I can give this sermon that tells you that you have to do everything that it says in that particular scripture, and I can tie it together with all kinds of scripture in the Bible, but I can also take that same scripture and the next Sabbath give you the exact opposite. Because you can take any scripture out of context and make it sound what you... You know, the Bible is so plain in the basic doctrines. There's no hidden meaning in the basic doctrines. It's right there, you know. It's not anything that's hidden to anybody if you have the Spirit of God. The main emphasis of our life is God's love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and there's nothing wrong, you know, none of these things I'm saying, are there's anything wrong with that. That's what we should do. On a personal level, that's what we should do. And taking care of the less fortunate, you know, that's great. You should do that. Though I give my body to be burned, you know, people allow themselves to be martyred. But if they don't have love, it profits me nothing. Because love is a spiritual attitude. It's a spiritual logic attitude. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things and endures all things. There's only one permanent thing. Love never fails. If love never fails and you become love, that means you never fail. You know, as I'm reading through this list, I see all of those things that I've done wrong just recently. You know, you don't behave rudely. So, you know, we do those things. Love never fails. Whether they're prophecies, they will fail. Everyone has one, as I said, you know, and most of them do fail. Their tongues, they'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. Just ask me. I know everything. Have you ever run into someone who can tell you everything in the Bible? This means this and this means that. You know, true minister of God, you know, if you ask the question, he helps you. He shows you. He explains it. And that's the way we're supposed to do. We know in part because we're ignorant of the true way of God. We only know partly what we think we know. We prophesy in part. We have an idea what the future holds, but we really don't know exactly. And this is the thing. That which is perfect has come. Then what is known and what we know partially, it's going to be done away. Because right now, I'm like a little child when it comes to the Bible. That my mind will be open so much as a spirit being that it'll be amazing. We know, you know, we speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, that's when I'll grow up. I'll put away childish things. And it's the same way. We are just like teenagers to our fathers. If any of you have teenage sons or daughters, when they were a certain age, they knew everything. Maybe some of them go up to their 20s and 30s and 40s and they know everything. But you know, we don't know anything compared to what God knows. For we see in a mirror dimly, but face to face, when we can really see the Father, we're going to understand things are really different than what we thought. We're going to be ashamed of ourselves, I think. But I know in part, just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. But of these things, what is the greatest? The greatest thing is love. The definition of love, agape love, is logical love, not just emotional love. Agape love is logical love plus emotional love. You have to have some emotion in your... You can't just walk around and say, I keep the laws, I do this, that, you know. It's the spirit of the law, and it encompasses so much. We sometimes forget that whatever we have is a gift of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, just before this, you see that's a gift. It's a gift from God. Because if you have love, you know, it's a gift from God. It all comes from the Father. The center of our life has to be the Father. It's centered around the family of God. It's centered around the Son of God. It's centered around what God has done for us because He loves us. Father knows best. He requires us to love Him and our fellow man. Not the love that you see in the Jesus of this world, but truly godly love as commanded by the Father. Without God's love, we are nothing. I like to call love the principle of the overriding principle. If what you do does not have love included in it, it's not God's way.